morning, everyone.
Morning.
I would like to set the big picture first before we dive into an individual item. And the big picture is this. First, God created everything out of nothing, so we'd have a place of fellowship with us. He created us to be in fellowship, to be bonded together in love. And in the future, there's going to be a reconciliation, and everything will be made new. The new heavens and the new earth. And that's the hope, as we're going to see. So I'd like to start with prayer. Father, just guide us as we dig into your word and have our minds renewed with your spirit and with your words as to the purpose and the hope that's in us, as we'll see the Colossians had. And so just open our minds and help us to understand and to draw close to you and worship you through this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're living in a new age, the age of AI, ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is not all bad. Let me back up and say today we're going to dive into Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, where it's Paul's letter to the Colossians. So I went into ChatGPT and asked them to tell me what are the key points of Colossians 1, and I found that it's a useful tool. ChatGPT, don't go into it for telling you what's theological doctrines, but you can search information and get good data out of it. So amongst other things, the themes to notice are faith, love, and hope as central Christian virtues, the global impact of the gospel, a vision of the Christian life as fruitful, growing, and empowered by God, and a strong emphasis on redemption, rescue, and spiritual transformation through Jesus Christ. There's other things in there, but I think it's a useful tool for Bible study, so don't dismiss it. It's free. You just type in ChatGPT, and you're off and running into the new age of AI. I guess the new expression we can use is, I found it on ChatGPT, so it must be true. I read it on the Internet, so it must be true. So I entitled it, Be Thankful for Our Brothers and Sisters in Christ, because Paul's talking about the Colossians, the joy that he has in them and their newfound faith, and the love that they have for one another, and expressing that. So I'm going to do a quick run through the scripture without interruption, and just think of what it means. Open up your mind to what you hear, and then we'll go through it in detail. So Colossians 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. Verse 5, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So that's verses 1 through 14. First of all, let me give you a little background of what's going on. So this is a letter from Paul while he was in prison in Rome, and his confinement was not so difficult. I think it was more like a house arrest at this particular point. So Timothy was there with him. I think he apparently could have visitors, and he wrote letters to the Colossians. It says later in Colossians, he wrote a letter to the Laodiceans, which we don't have, and other books that we do. So he's able to write and stay in correspondence. Apparently, Epaphras is, I guess that's the way the Greeks pronounce it. I asked ChatGPT, how do you pronounce these? In other languages, you tend to accent the second syllable. In English, we accent the first syllable. So we would want to say Epaphras or something like that. But Greek, it's Epaphras. So Epaphras apparently visited him and maybe prompted this. It doesn't appear that Paul was the one that visited Colossae, but Epaphras was converted, I guess, and educated when Paul was in Ephesus. At least that's what I read on. That wasn't ChatGPT, but a commentary, and of course you can't trust all commentaries either. Anyway, Paul was in Ephesus, I think maybe 2 years. He spent some time, and so other people were trained by him, and Epaphras was apparently one of them, and he went back to his home of Colossae and converted and evangelized there and raised up a congregation. And apparently, or indications are, he also did Laodicea and another place. So he was joyous when Epaphras came and told him all that was going on in Colossae and how well the people were doing. This is interesting. So Colossae was a city of Phrygia on the river Lycus, which was a branch of the Meander River. And that's an interesting name, isn't it, the Meander River? Well, that river is in a delta, and it wanders all around, all kinds of S shapes. And I went on Google Maps and took a look at it, and it really does. It's wandering all over, but that also means it's fertile farmland and so on. But because that was called the Meander River, that became used as a term to meander around, and that's where our word comes from, to meander around. It comes from the Meander River. So I'd already mentioned that Paul had not seen the members there and apparently wasn't its founder, but Epaphras was. Okay, so as I mentioned, probably during the 2 years Paul's stay at Ephesus, when all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus in Acts 19, Epaphras, Philemon, Archippus, Apphia, and other natives of Colossae, becoming converted at Ephesus, were subsequently the first sowers of the gospel seed in their own city. It says this will account for their personal acquaintance with and attachments to Paul and his fellow ministers, and for his loving language to them, and so on. And so that was not ChatGPT, although ChatGPT probably scrolled through this and included it in its database. But anyway, it was commentary, critical, and explanatory on the whole Bible. So anyway, that's background. And so let's go back to the first verse. Oh, I was telling you about the pronunciation. So I checked ChatGPT, and it's Epaphras, and only it's Ephesus, so it's Ephesus. I found that interesting. Oh, one fact is Colossae was about 100 miles east of Ephesus, so it was a good way. So when somebody traveled 100 miles, they stayed a while, so you can understand why Epaphras went there. He probably stayed a while. Also, he's probably a wealthy man because he was able to afford to do something like that. So having riches is not always bad. It can be used as a tool. Anyway, I don't need to go there. Let's get back. All right, verse 1. Colossians 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. As I already instructed, so Timothy was there with Paul in prison, and so this letter is being sent out on behalf of both of them. And it's to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Grace is so important. That's not when he says grace. That's not a word to be taken lightly, because it's through the grace of God that we're called that our sins are forgiven, not because of any great thing that we've done, but just because God chose us. And I think if we're honest about it, we can have to ask, why? I don't get it. You know, we're not worth it in some sense. If he's looking at us, at our work, they're not worth anything. But he loves us, and he created this for a purpose, getting back to looking at the whole picture. He created this for a purpose, understanding what we are, and that we can become something good through his Spirit. And it's a work that he does in us. And as we'll see, he's praising the work, really, that God's done in Colossae amongst the people. All right, getting down into the body, in Colossians 3, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." So Paul was rejoicing because getting this report, Epaphras coming and telling him of all the good things that's happening in Colossae, what the people are like, the changes in their lives, and the effect that the gospel message is going out has had on them, and becoming part of the kingdom of God and having fellowship and love for one another. He's rejoicing in that, really happy to hear this good news while he's there in prison, to see that the fruits of the labor that he's put in, that God's directed him to, has had a good effect, that the message is spreading. And in this section that we're reading, it's a lot of it's about how they pray, how Paul is praying, what he's praying for. And if you'll notice some of the things that he's not praying for, it's not talking about wealth or health or physical prosperity or persecutions at this time, but talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what it's done, the good things that's happening in their lives that's occurring to them. They're becoming people who can live in peace, that have the bond of love for one another, that care about one another, and that have unity. Continuing on in Colossians 5, it says, "The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." Verse 5, look at that. It says, faith, love, and then hope. Except here it's saying that the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and that was in the true message of the gospel. So there's faith, hope, and love. In this section, he's talking about faith and love spring from the hope. The hope that's in God, the hope that's in his promise for eternal life in the world to come and in the New Jerusalem and so on. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. So there, Paul's seeing that it's spreading. It spread to Colossians, spread to Laodicea and others. And it's spreading through people that have learned through Paul, and going out and changing the whole world. And it says, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So what a joy that was when they understood God's grace and the forgiveness that he's given through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, eternal life with the Trinity and one another. Continuing, Colossians 7. "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf." So he's talking about what Epaphras has done, that he is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So I read that to mean on Paul's behalf. Remember, Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, and Paul was training people and sending them out. And here's Epaphras being sent out on Jesus' behalf. Verse 8, "And who also told us of your love in the Spirit." So they loved the Spirit of God, what a change that it has made in their lives, the Holy Spirit. And he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you." So again, that indicates that Paul wasn't there to convert them or to meet with them. He's talking about the day since they heard about you. And probably Epaphras is the one that told them. "We have not stopped praying for you, So he's always praying for them since the day that he heard of their conversion and the church that they had there. Continuing in verse 9. Verse 9 was kind of strange. It's like two thoughts. It should have been separated. Anyway, it says, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." What's he asking in his prayers for the Colossians? He's asking that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So the Spirit provides us with wisdom and understanding. These are the spiritual gifts, and that's what he's praying for them for. That was what was uppermost in his mind. So you picture Paul as he's picturing these Colossians as to, in his mind, and what he's wishing for them, wanting them to have. What Paul values is wisdom and understanding of God, the knowledge of his will, and to do what the Spirit moves them to, inspires them to. Verse 10, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." We love Jesus. We love God. We want to do what's pleasing to him. We don't always. We make mistakes. But through his grace and forgiveness, you pick back up and keep going. You don't give up because he doesn't give up on you. So we want to please him. And through his Spirit, through the knowledge of his will, wisdom and understanding, we bear fruit in every good work for God, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So this is how God's praying for them, the things, spiritual gifts of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that enables them to live a life pleasing to God and bearing good fruit, which is good works, praying for their strength so that they might have great endurance and patience. In verse 12, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." And in verse 13, it talks about darkness, but God provides, gives light. And I like to think about in the beginning when he created everything out of nothing, the first thing was light. That light, photons, electromagnetic energy. But through light, that's how we see things. That's how we perceive what's around us, and we're aware of what's there. So in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So again, thanking God for what he has done, bringing more people into his kingdom. And notice they were brought into a kingdom of light instead of dominion of darkness. When it talks about the new heaven or the new Jerusalem, it says there will be no sun or moon because God's the one that radiates all the energy. And when you hear descriptions of angels, they're emitting light. They're radiating. We actually are emitting light now. Any warm body emits radiation, but you have to get pretty hot to emit visible light. But God is radiating light, and he will provide the illumination in the New Jerusalem. So this was how Paul prayed, what he prayed for. He was primarily for spiritual gifts, the love that they had for one another, and Paul was expressing his love for them because he cared about them. He was drawn to them through the Holy Spirit, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God's looking for. He wants us to be bonded together in love. That's what he's looking for in the fellowship with us, what he originally intended when it talks about him walking in the garden with them. He wanted fellowship. He wanted to talk to us and be with us. And through Satan, with his deceptions and casting doubts, we started questioning, started focusing on ourselves and not caring about one another. That's going to change in the future. We will have his Spirit. We'll be drawn together in love as the Trinity is, very close to one another, working together, but yet three in one. And in the future, we'll be million in one, I guess. It'll be wonderful. And then that's the point. And that's what the people were looking for. That was the hope that was in them, the future that awaits us. And I would say that life was a lot harder then. It was tough. People wore out. They didn't, for the most part. what's the expression, rust out. Life was tough, and if you've ever seen somebody that's worked hard, I mean really hard all their lives, you get a picture of what I mean. Life 100 years ago was a lot rougher. We always complain, but the truth is we actually have it better than people have ever had it. And we sometimes forget or think that this is wonderful. Especially when we're young, we don't have any aches or pains. The appeal of heaven doesn't have as much effect. But when you start getting older or you start having struggles or problems and so on, you begin to understand, I want a better kingdom. I want a better world. I want the new Jerusalem with God and unity with him and one another. So let me end in prayer. Father, your word is truth. It reveals yourself in them. You revealed yourself in Jesus. He said, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. He accepted people. He was in company of sinners, tax collectors, and was criticized for that. But that is what you are. You are not impressed by titles or accomplishments. You just care about each one of us and want us to love one another and to love you. We thank you for your word and give you thanks for the work that you've done in us and in our fellowship, and just help us to be a light and to go out and make disciples as we're able to and as you provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.